Well, everyone, I want to welcome you to the Sunday night Business Builder Call with Ambit Energy. My name is Brian McClure, National Founding Consultant and Ambassador with Ambition. And I wanted to give you some real foundational things tonight on the call, because I think, you know, as time passes, what happens is that we get distracted, we start doing some different things, you know, we get complacent, a lot of complacency. And I think with the COVID thing and people still a little unsure, we're kind of moving out of it. People are getting more and more comfortable meeting face-to-face. But it's just kind of an uncertain time. So I kind of want to focus you back into some fundamentals, some key ingredients, if you will, how to build a large sales and marketing organization. And these aren't in any particular order, just jotted some notes down, and I wanted to go over with them, so they're not in order of importance or anything like that. But I think one of the key things is that whatever it is you do and however it is you do it, it needs to be duplicable. In other words, if you're, back in the day, you were great on stage and you were one side of the stage, the other side of the stage, you had that charismatic type personality. You know, the tendency for most people is I could never do that. And so if that's how you built the business, doing in-homes and your business was personality-driven versus systems-driven, then what you were doing was not duplicable. And I think that one of the keys, I know that one of the keys is that you're able to duplicate the business. You know, we know that we start our business, you know, we make a written list of everybody we know and kind of know. And then from the written list is to ask somebody to take a look. And then the third is the business presentation, you know. So, you know, what happens is, you know, if your business presentation or the way you do your business presentation is not duplicable, then all of a sudden what happens, it breaks down. You become the personality, you've got to talk to everybody, so on and so forth. This also occurs in three-way calls, you know, that you've got to get people in the organization doing three-way calls. So point number one, it has to be duplicable. And, you know, number two is that you need to have some sort of goals. You need to have some sort of written down goals, you know, and another way you can do this is get a vision board, you know. Pull out some magazines, get some images off the internet, whatever. Why is it that you're doing the business? What is it that you're doing the business? I would wager to guess that the majority of people on this call tonight don't have a vision board. You know, maybe you had one back in the day, or maybe you never had one. You know, do you have a list of what your actual goals are? Why are you doing the business? Because without understanding why you're doing the business, you're not going to have the drive to do the business. It's not an easy business. The other thing I wanted to point out to you, this is very, very true. You can put a big star by this one. You know, it's easier to build fast than it is slow. You know, what happens is, you know, you get into the business, you make the written list, you're thinking about this one, thinking about that one. Oh, well, let me call this one, let me call that one, and oh, well, I'll call them next week. You know, I know they're busy this week. You know, oh, it's Cinco de Mayo, and I know they celebrate Cinco de Mayo. They're going to be hungover tomorrow. You have this whole rationale that goes through your mind as to why you can't call somebody, why it's not a good time either for them or for you or whatever. And what happens is that you're not inviting, you know, written list, invitation, presentation. You're not in that inviting process, or you're in a very slow burn presentation process. You know, you get one person to look at it a month, or two people look at it a month, or maybe one person every 2 or 3 months. Folks, you can't build a business like that. You know, if you want to join the social club, great. You know, there are a lot of Zooms, you know, come to Ambition, have a good time, get on this call, get on that call, do whatever. But the bottom line is that you got involved in the business to improve yourself financially. That's the bottom line to it. Now, maybe you got involved to make a lot of money, to give a lot of money away to charity. You know, whatever it is, there was a financial underlying driver for you to get involved in the business. And if you don't build the business fast, and I think, you know, legitimately COVID slowed that down a lot, you know, our methodology, our culture in Ambit was eyeball-to-eyeball meetings. I mean, there are people who were doing it online, but, you know, prior to COVID, you know, how many people on here did Zooms? Not many, you know. So, you know, our business has changed. It's transitional. COVID definitely had an effect on it. None of those are excuses. That's reality. But you've got to get back to building your business fast. I think the other thing that's really important, or one of the other things that's important, is don't compare yourself to anybody else. You know, you can sit and compare yourself financially. Oh, well, you know, such and such makes X number of dollars and I'm not making anything, or, you know, such and such promoted to, you know, senior consultant on the fast track. He did it in, or she did it in, you know, 30 days or 26 days or whatever. And I've been in the business 2 years and I just can't ever seem to get there. You know, it's totally invalid to compare yourself to anybody else. Everybody's got a different set of circumstances. You know, I know when Steve Thompson started the business, I mean, there's nobody that worked harder in Ambit Energy. There wasn't any before because that was in the very beginning, but hadn't been anybody during that period of time or anybody since that I've seen work as hard as Steve Thompson worked. But I want you to think about that. He had his own State Farm insurance agency, had a half a dozen to a dozen people working for him. It was a well-oiled machine. You know, he had the people that handled the claims in the office and processed the renewals and the this and the that. And sure, he had to get on the phone every once in a while with a client and talk about some issues. But, you know, he had a very strong, steady income stream. Secondly, Steve was not married, still not married today, didn't have any children, didn't have any family obligations. Now, compare that to your situation. You know, some of us, like Betsy and I, are empty nesters, so, you know, I'm a little freer, you know, and I don't have to worry about the band concert or the baseball game that's coming up or the this or the that. We don't have grandchildren yet, you know, so I don't have to worry about, you know, stuff with the grandchildren. So everybody has a different set of circumstances that dictates their time. You know, some people work very, very long hours at their work, and they can only put in so many hours. They come home to a busy family life, and so they're restricted to the number of hours they can put in. Well, they're, you know, not necessarily absolutely, but the probability is that they're gonna get the senior consultant slower. They're gonna get to the bigger dollars slower. It's just the way it is. So don't compare yourself to other people, and in doing so, looking for perfection. I think the other thing is that, folks, we are rapidly, and I'm not purporting for anybody to, you know, break any local or state laws or any COVID protocols that are in place, but we're rapidly moving towards back to the eyeball-to-eyeball business, you know, where people are going to get more comfortable, and not all people are going to be comfortable. I think the way you're going to present the business is primarily going to be online. But, you know, that in my opinion, there's no substitute, particularly somebody that's really wants to build a big business. There's no substitute to getting eyeball-to-eyeball. The next thing I wanted to talk to you about is you got to be consistent. A consistent, persistent effort over time is key to this business, you know. Now, you're going to have voids, you know. You're going on a one-week family vacation. Boy, you're going to have a week void, you know. But if you say, okay, I'm going to work 5 hours a week or 7 hours a week, whatever that number is, and there's a week where you can't work at all, maybe there was some sort of medical emergency, or maybe you were sick, or maybe there was some big project at work, and you're just like, man, there's no way I can do anything with Ambit this week. So you lost 5 hours if that was your number. Well, the next week work 7, and the next week after that work 8. You know, make those 5 hours up in the weeks that you can. But, you know, do the multiplication on that. 5 hours a week times 50, 2 weeks, or just call it 50 weeks. You can give yourself the week of Christmas off and a summer vacation, 250 hours, you know. And if you find that, hey, come August, September, I'm at 250 hours, certainly you don't quit. You go, wow, okay, I can make that commitment to go more hours. The more hours you put into it in a constructive way, showing the plan, and if you're ever worried about what it is I'm supposed to do to move my business forward, show the plan. You cannot enroll somebody in this business without showing the plan. So you have to be consistent. you need to follow up. I see this all the time. You know, somebody talked to somebody, oh, I'm not really sure if I could call them, and, you know, they said they'd get back with me in a week. You've got to follow up, but at the same time, you don't want to chase them. You know, you're building a sales and marketing organization. You've chosen Ambit Energy to drive revenue to it. The bottom line is you don't need to be chasing people. You've got a powerful opportunity with a powerful company in a very powerful industry with a product that's second to none. In fact, it's a service I'm constantly purchasing and habitually use. You don't need to beg anybody to get into your business. You know, I think one of the fundamentals here is you got to have a big list. You know, when I'm working with somebody new and they've got 20 people on their list, that tells me a lot about people, that person. You know, if they've got 200 people, that tells me a lot about them as well. And you find those rare birds that got 500, 600, 700 people on their list, you know you've got somebody that can be a King Kong in this business. You know, your success in this business is going to be relative to your list. And the list is not everybody that you think is going to do the business. It's everybody, okay? And it's everybody even if you don't have a phone number on them, you know? Going years back, you know, I remember I was out building the business and Travis was a big soccer player. And I used to enjoy visiting with a guy that was a dad. He was John and his son's name was Johnny. And they played soccer together, and we'd stand on the sidelines, or actually sit on the sidelines, and we'd watch them. And, you know, he was a big executive at Dell Computer here in Austin, and we talked a lot. And you know, I never had his number. And when I got involved in Ambit Energy, I chased him down and got his number. I showed him the business. He never got into the business. He wasn't interested, whatever. But I could have said, oh, well, I didn't even remember his last name, okay? I had to get that from the mom who kind of coordinated all the snacks to get his last name, and she didn't have the phone number, and I had to chase that down through somebody that worked at Dell to get his work number to finally get hold of him. So it's everybody on a written list. So you got to have a big list. The other thing is you got to have an accountability partner. You know, if you operate in a vacuum, it's very easy for you to rationalize away why you didn't do this or can't do that or can't do the other thing. But when you got to pick up the phone and call an accountability partner who last week you'd said, I'm going to make 3 presentations this week, and you haven't made 3 presentations, and you're making that accountability call on Thursday and it's on Tuesday, there's a high probability that you're going to get 3 presentations in between Tuesday and Thursday. So by having an accountability partner, making yourself accountable, not to just yourself, but to other people, is really, really important. The other thing that I think is key to this business is events. You know, we had people sign in that say, you know, they're going to Ambition Live. I know that's not in the cards for everybody, though I highly, highly, highly encourage it. You know, registration for Ambition, for regardless of whether you're an MR or you're an ambassador, it's going to open up on Monday. It's been open for ECs and NCs. I can promise you they're nowhere close to the 1,000 people registered. You need to grab a ticket or 2 or 3 if you feel like you're going to be building a group between now and then. You need to grab some tickets to the live event. You know, the online event's going to be fantastic. If you can't go for whatever the reasons are, okay, fine, do the online event. But I tell you, there's no substitute for getting eyeball to eyeball and interfacing with people at the live event. So big events are key, whether it be Power Trip or a regional event or whatever it is. Big events are coming back. We are going to have Ambition Live this year for 1,000 people. And they'll continue to be here, and you need to tie into big events. You need to master the 3-way call. And, you know, if you've ever heard me teach how to build a sales and marketing organization, you know, your first level is your foundation. These are people you know, love, and trust, and your whole business is built on that foundation of your first level people. Your second level is duplication. This is where you begin to duplicate. You're working with your first level people to bring in second level people. Okay, you're never going to take somebody you personally know and put them on your second level. I don't have time to go into that, but financially, you're taking over a 50% pay cut. You can do the math yourself, do a 3x3 matrix, come up with the dollars, take the seventh level off, you add up levels 1 through 6, it's not 50% of the amount of money you're making on the seventh level. So if you drop somebody one level, mathematically speaking, and math is an exact science, you're cutting over 50% of the income on the seven level residual plan that that person could bring to you and your business. And then on your third level is your decentralization. And what I mean by that, as I teach my mechanics, is you're decentralized as the issue. So in reference to mastering a three-way call, a lot of people come into the business and go, oh, I can't do a three-way call because I'm not as good at it. I don't know that much about it as Brian does, or as Norbert does, or as this one does, or that one does. You know, the bottom line is it's not important. You're decentralized for all that person that, so you're somebody on your first level puts you on a three-way call. That person doesn't know if you've been in the business for an hour or for 15 years like I have been. You know, I mean, it just, you know, it's all perception on your part. So as you are decentralized as the issue, grow as fast. You don't have to be as good at them as I am or somebody else you might be working with, but you need to learn how to do three-way calls. And you learn to do three-way calls by doing three-way calls with several other people. And then you pick the nuggets out of the three-way calls, which you would be comfortable talking about, and you just start doing three-way calls. Facts tell and stories sell. You know, we're a public utility, unconsciously purchased and habitually used. You know, every time you turn on a light switch, next month, next year, 5 years from now, you make money. Look at where you're sitting right now. I'm sitting in our living room. You know, I see 1, 2, 3 lamps on. I see the chandelier over the dining room table on. I see the Samsung sign on the TV, though the TV's off. I've got my cell phone charging next to me here. Let's see what else is going on. Refrigerator's running for sure. Air conditioner turned off not too long ago. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year, you're burning electricity. Those are all facts. Okay? They tell a story. Okay? I just told a story of how powerful our business opportunity is. But stories sell. You know, I'll tell you a little story about something that happened to me, not in my ambit business, but when I was building XL Telecommunications. I was going to Ronnie Kirkland's Training Center in Atlanta, Georgia, and speaking about every other weekend. I lived in New Orleans at the time. I'd fly into Atlanta. Ronnie'd have me speak. And I finished speaking one time. I walked to the back of the room, and in the back of the room, you'd walk into a hallway, and in the hallway on the other side were offices that people rented from Ronnie. This lady caught me in the hall after I was speaking. I was going to get something to drink. She goes, Mr. McClure, can I talk to you? I said, sure. How are you doing? She introduced herself. She said, can we step in here? Went inside this office, and she said, I just want to tell you, I heard you know, last month talk, and it just changed my business. It's something you said just clicked, and the business really started working. And, you know, last week I made, I forget what it was, $3,000 or $4,000. My business just blowing up. And she said, but I wanted to tell you what it means for me and my family. She said, I have a son who's ADD and ADHD or whatever, but it's pretty serious learning disabilities. And he's never done well in school because I can't put him in the type of school he needs to be in. And he's constantly in trouble. And because he's in trouble, I have to pay so much attention to him doing his homework. You know, his sisters resent him. And you know, my husband and I are separated, and it's all on me. And I don't get to spend time with my other children. And because of the money that I'm making in Excel, I was able to go and put him into school. And it's just changed the whole dynamics, you know, I don't have to spend as much time with him at home. They teach him in a manner that he can receive the information and comprehend it and retain it. And the relationship between my son and my daughters is so much better, so much more peace at home. And as she's telling me this story, she's crying, you know, and I'm crying and we're hugging each other. And, you know, I was just grateful to, you know, it's the part of the business that keeps me going, you know, just making a small difference in people's lives. You know, you tell a story like that to somebody, you know, they take it in their mind emotionally wherever they want to take it. You know, facts are logical. You know, men deal with facts very well. But an emotional story like that can touch somebody, and their mind can go to a point to say, well, maybe if I got involved in this business, you know, this could happen for me. Maybe not somebody, not that they're going to have a child that's ADD or ADHD and, you know, have those same sort of issues. But, you know, this is about telling stories. It's about changing lives. And telling the stories versus telling the facts is the emotional thing. So find out what it is somebody wants, and then tell them a story about how they can overcome that obstacle, how they can crash through that wall, how they can be successful, and show them how ambient energy will get it for them. So let me say that again. Find out what it is somebody wants and show them how ambient energy will get it for them. You know, going back to the early days and running the roads and everything, I remember the first time that I saw Steve Thompson train in Chicago, Illinois, and he trained on feel, felt, found. You know, somebody's telling you their why, or, you know, what why they want to do the business, or why they're looking at the business. And your response should go, you know, John, I feel the same way, you know, and, you know, just like you were telling me that, you know, there's really no opportunity in the, you know, for you to get time freedom in the automotive industry with you working at the car dealership, you know, and I couldn't agree with you that getting people time freedom is where it's all about. And I felt it because, and I'm telling my story, so I feel, felt, and what I found was through ambient energy, it provided time freedom for me. So, you know, in responding to somebody emotionally when they're telling you their story, why it is they want to do the business, if you use this tried and true, you know, I feel your pain. I felt the same way. And what I found was this: feel, felt, found. You know, next point I want to make with you is God gave you two ears and one mouth. You know, listen, listen, listen. People will tell you their pain. And if you can hand them the solution for their pain, then you've got somebody that's new and excited in your business, you know. But if all you're talking about is, you know, how great this is and how great Ambit is and how great you are and how this and that, and all you do is you talk, at the end of the day, none of that makes any difference to the person you're talking to. They've got some sort of pain. They've got some sort of reason they're looking at this business. And at the end of the day, think about it. You know, maybe when you got involved in the business, some guy was running his head or some gal was running his head about this and that and the other thing, and you're just saying, shut up, dude, and let me tell you what's going on in my life. People want to tell you what's going on in their life. So, you know, this point is listen, listen, listen. You know, you have to tell a story, but you have to be a good listener. This is huge. And I've seen this destroy organization after organization after organization after organization. You know, when there's an issue, any sort of issue, you know, you want to go to your upline, not to your downline. I see this all the time. You know, all the rates just changed in XYZ state, and, you know, now we're not going to be competitive. So what do? You call the organization and you throw up all over them, okay? And that's not the thing to do. What you want to do is you want to call your upline, how is this going to work? Get counsel on it. You know, how do you come up with a differentiator that's going to allow you to overcome the objection, whatever. And I'm just using this as an example. But the point is that you want to go to your upline, not to your downline with problems. And when you have good news, you go to your downline. You know, the bottom line is people are looking at you, and if you've got your dauber in the dirt, and this has happened a lot, you know, not only COVID, but, you know, the change from the old Ambit ownership to the new Ambit ownership, and, you know, whatever it was, and even in the old Ambit, you know, a lot of people on this call, you know, there was always this disappointment. And so what do? You go to the meeting and everybody's, you know, got their, you know, head in the stand, just, oh, poor, pitiful me, what's going to happen? Or, you know, the sky is falling. I'm telling you, it's a death nail in the organization. You know, Steve wrote a book, Never Ever Quit. You know, that's my next point. Don't quit. You know, there's people that have gone on to other opportunities, and if that's what they felt was best for their family, more power to them. I don't wish them any ill feel, but I don't have to agree with it. You know, I don't have to agree that going and selling some lotion, potion, and pill is going to be better than a public utility that's unconsciously purchased and habitually used. Going and selling something I can buy at Walmart for $3.50 for $12.50, you know, it's not my cup of tea. But if it is somebody's cup of tea, if they're excited about that, if they think they've got some new proprietary, you know, pharmaceutical grade, you know, wonder pill, you know, which all of them have, you know, some sort of sales spin on it that's along those lines, and they believe in it, and they can go and market it, and they can build an organization that provides income for them, you know, that's fine. Never quit on your dream, first and foremost. And from my perspective, somebody believes wholeheartedly in what we do and how we do it and where we are today and where the future is going, never quit on your Ambit Energy business. Now, you may go do something else. You know, I just recently got my real estate license. You know, hey, is it a crime for me to go and market some of my properties and sell a little real estate and save some commissions here or there or whatever? No, that's no indication as to my belief level in Ambit Energy. You know, most people do other things for income. There's nothing wrong with that, but don't ever quit on a public utility that's unconsciously purchased, habitually used, owned by a $1 billion-plus corporation, largest direct seller of energy in the world. You're going to be challenged every day. This is not an easy business. You know, I can remember back in the day living in Austin talking about Dell Computer again. Dell stock would go up and it'd split 2-for-1 and then go straight back up and it'd split 3-for-1 and it'd go straight back up and split 2-for-1 again. I mean, it split multiple times, and each time after the split, it just went back to where it was before and above it, and it split again and so on and so forth. And they did that because they got into the PC marketplace. They came up with a better model to customize your PC. They passed up Compaq. They passed up Hewlett-Packard. The desktop PC kind of became more antiquated, and they were on the cutting edge of the laptop and dominated the laptop business. I think it was during that era of their growth and that era of computing that they passed up HP as the largest producer of computers in the world. And then the tablet came along. And Dell kind of missed it. You know, Dell kind of missed it, and Apple had a resurgence. Steve Jobs came back to the company, and you know, Apple was on top of it, and Microsoft came up with a tablet, and you know, Dell kind of missed it, you know, and so they had their challenges, and their stock wasn't going up and splitting and going back up again and splitting, you know, it was plummeting, and they just had their challenges, and they reinvented themselves, you know. So every company, you know, GM has gone bankrupt. Chrysler has gone bankrupt. You know, look at them today. They can't make cars fast enough. They're making money hand over fist. You know, bottom line is every company has its ups. Every company has its downs, and it's no different in your sales and marketing organization. Your sales and marketing organization is going to have its ups, and it's going to have its downs. So it's going to be it's going to be challenging, and all you have to do is recognize the challenges and then decide to work harder. You know, when times are bad, people stay at the office later. They show the plan more often. You know, they'll sit there and go, oh, I'm going to wait until times get better. Now, what I'm telling you is that if you work hard now, and you grab some spots for live ambition, and you get some people live ambition, maybe it's only two or three for some of you that have smaller organizations. You know, people do what you do, not what you tell them to do. So if you don't go, they're probably not going to go. But for those of you that have bigger organizations, I know Norbert's on the call. You know, bottom line is no reason Norbert can't have 50, 100 people there. If he works hard and gets his people registered and gets the slots, that starts Monday. You know, the bottom line is you're going to have challenges, and it's how you, it's the recognition of that challenge and how you deal with that challenge that's going to make the difference. And how do you do that? Next point is you visualize where you're going to be. You know, if you're at one of the lower levels in our marketing plan, visualize yourself as an EC or an NC. If you're an EC, visualize yourself as an NC. You know, do you have what it takes to, as an NC, to work hard enough to become an ambassador in the business? Now, that's not a set of criteria or set of things, but you got to be a pretty large income earner. That's one thing. Well, that's not bad. You know, set a goal to double your income this year over what it was last year. You know, hey, you know, that's a step closer to possibly being recognized as an ambassador someday. You know, visualize where it is you're going to be. Are you going to be on a beach? Are you going to be debt-free? You know, are you going to be who you want to be to your church or the charity of your choice? Where is it that you want to be? Visualize it and keep it in front of you over and over and over again, and don't stop until you get there. You just never quit until you get till that visualization becomes a reality. And then I'm going to go back to number one. So my last point is never forget number one. And number one's duplication. Without duplication, you're never going to build an ambient energy business, period, end of paragraph. You know, I said I didn't prioritize them, and I didn't, but I did prioritize duplication. You've got to duplicate yourself, and if you're not duplicating yourself, you need to put yourself in front of people that can help you with that process. You know, why is it you're the only person in your business doing something? Well, it's probably a pretty good sign. You need to make a written list, polish it off, dust it off, go back to work, show the plan, show the plan, show the plan, show the plan. I can tell you, it's easier to give birth than to resurrect the dead. You know, don't go back trying to get everybody in your organization to get back to work. Now, with that said, you know, it is worth a 5-minute phone call to see who you can get to go to ambition. You know, that's worth a 5-minute phone call. Let ambition do the work for you. 5-minute phone call to get people, you know, at watch parties. And I suggest watch parties over individually watching the live stream of Ambition, because people stay more engaged and won't be getting up and picking their nose and dealing with their kids or walking outside or whatever. They go to a watch party, they're going to see Ambition. If they don't go to a watch party, you don't know what they're doing. They might not have even turned on their computer to register for the attendee-only incentives and not done anything since then. They're not going to probably get the full value if they're not at a watch party, and they're not going to get as much value at a watch party as they are for Ambition Live. So, you know, one thing is it's duplication. It's duplication at every level. If you're going to Ambition, duplicate yourself. Get more people at Ambition. What you'll find out is that if you're showing the plan, working the business, your organization's going to do the same thing. And if you're not, they're not. And once somebody quits working the business, for the most part, and some people put it on pause for COVID, so I'm not talking this is 100%, but once somebody stops working the business, for the most part, they're never going to get back up and work the business again. Very, very rarely will that happen. Does happen. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. But the bottom line is, if you've got an organization that you're not happy with the production out of because you're not getting the paycheck you want to get the paycheck, you've got to go back to the fundamentals and start the business again. So I think I gave you 16, 17, 18 points, something like that. Point number one is go back to point number 17, 18, whatever many I gave you, is go back. You have to be duplicable. Anyway, I appreciate each and every one of you. I'm going to stop the recording and open it back up.